Hey, yo, you listening to the Cool Nerd Podcast with my daddy, Kev the Cool Nerd.
I'll fuck your bitch, then do her taxes. Podcast. I am Kev the Cool Nerd, and I got my guy with me, Big O from the 614.
Columbus, Ohio, in the building, as usual.
Man,
this is a goodie. This is gonna be a goodie right here.
I am super excited for this one, and we're gonna tell y'all off the rip again. Second straight episode. No battle rap.
No battle rap today. We're branching out. We're branching out. We want to talk about other stuff.
This topic is probably the coolest of cool nerdy topics, and very important to discuss. You know what I'm saying? I'm excited, and I hate that it took me this long to kind of not necessarily get to this point, but to watch this particular thing and discuss this topic in thoroughness that we're going to talk about. But for the YouTube audience, you got a little breadcrumb in the background. If you see Big O's background, it's a little breadcrumb right there to kind of let y'all know what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But for the podcast platform audience, our audio listeners, the auditory people, today we're going to talk about specifically the Netflix documentary, The Social Dilemma. And that's probably just going to get us into a whole lot more, man. Listen, I'm a techie, tech nerd, tech geek, whatever you want to call me. And so typically things like this always pull me in anyway, but I'm going to tell you this topic and this documentary legit has me thinking different, not because I'm a techie, not because I'm a nerd, but because I'm a parent. You know what I'm saying? And so we're gonna get a little bit deeper into it. First and foremost, I just want to talk about the documentary as a whole or in how it was done, right? Oh, so I'm gonna give you my opinion on this shit. First and foremost,
mm-hmm.
I love when documentaries are actually done in this fashion. I don't know what they call them, whether or not it's, you know, a theatrical documentary, a movie doc, but when they do actual like movie type scenes
with scenarios,
so there's another documentary that I watched that was dope like that, and it was called and it was actually a series. It's called Mars. And it was like, and it's not the only one, but it was called Mars. And it was like, the documentary was about Elon Musk and his SpaceX company and everything that they were doing and the mission to Mars, trying to get to Mars. But they encompassed that with an actual, you know, scripted series within the documentary. So cuts to the scripted scenes and then cuts to the documentary conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And the scripted scenes had, you know, was in the future and we were living on Mars, or it was about this international mission to Mars or whatever, and it had happened or whatever. There was another one. I'm gonna have to look this title up real quick. But there was another one that I saw earlier this year, or it might have been late last year, but it was essentially about the beginning of technology in the Silicon Valley, kind of as we know it. And again, it was a scripted documentary that talked about the beginning of I'm gonna have to look that shit up. I'll come back to it because I don't want to waste a whole lot of time. But first and foremost, like the way this documentary was done, I like when they do this shit. Like it's engaging, it puts you in and gets you in it. You know what I'm saying? So but you, how did you, before we dive all the way into it, like how'd you feel about it? What did you like about it?
Well, so I mean, I like docs in general. It's just sometimes you have to find the time to watch them. But like you, because this is something that I'm interested in, I use technology, I use social media.
Yep.
And you know, we were probably some of the first people on the smartphone wave.
Facts.
You
know,
going back to BlackBerry. If I'm gonna keep it funky, shit, I was rocking a BlackBerry back in 08.
Yep.
The side scroll joint.
Oh, nigga, I had the T-Mobile G1, first Android.
Okay.
Back in 08. That was
my thing. So, you know, going back to those times and you think about how, I mean, 12 years isn't that long.
Nope.
And
not at all.
We've come so far. And even if you go back 12 years, you, like, for instance, Facebook started off for college kids.
Yes.
You know, it was just for college. Then it trickled down to high school, and then it opened up for everyone.
Everybody.
So, you know, going from there and, you know, what they were talking about and just the different people and the levels of positions that they held at different reputable, very popular social media sites, you know, such as the Etsy, Instagram, Facebook, Google, you know, you Pinterest, you know, all these different people that work for these different companies and what they got to see and what they were responsible for, yet having the morale to be like, I don't know how I feel about this, you know, gave me some different insight because, you know, we were not there, but we are customers and we watch this evolve into what it is today. Right. And like you say, you have children, but I always looked at it this way because we both worked for, you know, technology companies.
Yeah.
And seeing as how, you know, people depend on these things. And I said this years ago, the smartphone has replaced the wallet.
Yeah.
Back in the day, if you lost your wallet, that was your world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now you have everything in your smartphone. And that's where you find the disconnect, where it's like, you know, if someone says, hey, I forgot my password, can you get me in my phone? No, I can't.
Right.
That's your password. How could you forget something like that? That's so important.
Right. Yeah.
How do you forget the PIN to your smartphone? How do you forget the password to your email?
Right.
Why do you have 7 emails? Why do you have multiple Facebook pages? Because you forgot your password and it's not important to you and it shows.
Exactly.
You know, but we'll get into that part later because I have a lot of thoughts on that. But from a parental standpoint, and then I'm in that super, I think it's called a super user category, whereas I understand the importance of reading and writing. Yeah. I also understand the importance of conversations and physical interaction, but yeah. I also understand how important it is to use tech, be able to be fluent with technology and to be able to use it. So I sit right in the middle of all that stuff because I can do both.
Yep.
You know, I can not only have a conversation with you, I can say whatever it is I need to say, and I can also text it to you as well. Whereas you have like some of the millennials who are not really comfortable speaking how they feel in person, but they could type you out a book in a text message
to get
their point across. So it's I always was trying to think, how do you bridge the gap? But then, and so watching this, I'm sitting there like, is this even fixable?
Fam, like, because what you're saying is, if you've watched the doc, you know, and for those of you listening and watching that, haven't, I suggest that you do. We live in this world. It'll probably change your perspective, but the creators of this shit are puzzled by it.
Yes.
They don't have the answer.
No. No.
They don't have the answer. And it's like, that's the social dilemma. This started out, first off, I got to go back real quick, because that shit you were talking about, your smartphone being your wallet, real world examples, that shit happened to me the other day. I went to the grocery store. Groceries, full grocery shopping. Didn't have, I get to the register, she rang my shit up, I'm patting my pockets. Oh, shit. And the cashier had to say it to me. Well, do you have your phone? Yes, I fucking do. Boop. Walk right. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Again, real world example. The importance of passwords. Shit that I've said, all the time. Again, you know. Right now, our kids are virtual. Everything's virtual. Okay? They have these platforms for parents to go check grades and shit. Me and my wife clearly took for granted the fact that our children were in school and they send home paper documents. I still like looking at the report card that way. And now we're virtual. They're not sending those. You have to go to this platform. And my wife doesn't remember the login. She doesn't, like, I didn't even know that she had set it up.
Right.
She was like, no, I did, but I don't remember. And now I'm doing my techie stuff, trying to go through all the help. You know what I mean? And they say, well, what email did you use? I don't know. I'm sending it to every email. We're not getting a response. And when you look at what their instructions are, it's like, well, if you don't receive an email, then we don't have your email on file. So now I'm back to square one. Like, who set this shit up?
Right.
So anyway, I don't want to go down that rabbit hole, but it's like the intent. I'm like you said, I don't know if I would call myself a super user, but the way you described it, I'm exactly like that. When it comes to social media, I definitely understand the importance of physical social ability. I don't know if that's a word, but I'm going to create it today.
Very descriptive. It's descriptive.
You know what I mean? You know, being physically social, in person, if you will. I understand the importance of technology and what it can do and what it does. You know what I'm saying? And I find myself being conscious enough or smart enough to know how to leverage the two and not be used by one or the other. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? As I watched this, I said to myself, yeah, I get all of this shit. I see exactly what you're talking about. And I have actively worked to not be a part of this. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
In terms of social media, like I've always been an observant. I have not been super, super active on social media, but I understand the importance of it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And yes, I use it and have used it to my advantage in certain instances. I am more active today because of all the things that we're doing, Rio. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
From a business standpoint, from a awareness standpoint, this podcast, my battle rap career, like things of that nature. Like, so I know how to use it. I use it. I don't let it use me. But I don't think anybody seriously knows, probably until you've watched this documentary, that I haven't seen it broken down this way before. But we are not the consumers. We are the product.
We are the product. And when they said that, that changed. That was the game changer for me.
Boom.
That was the game changer.
And it triggered something in me. I was like, damn, this makes so much sense. You know what I'm saying? One of the long-standing things or complaints, I'll just point out Instagram. One of the long-standing complaints from Instagram was, why did y'all change the feed? Why did the algorithm for the feed change? Mm-hmm. Why can't you just give me things in chronological order anymore? Well, when you build an intuitive platform that's based on an algorithm to track and test behaviors to then present the most relevant thing to you at a specific time. It doesn't necessarily matter when it happened, but it's relevant to you at that particular time. That's why the feed changed.
That's exactly why the feed.
You trained it. You trained it.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, so they have all these predictive models and things of that nature. You train social media. Okay, let me try to make it as simple as possible for those. Again, this is a cool nerd show. I know me and Rio know what we're talking about. I'm not saying that y'all are dumb. Algorithms. Algorithms are equations, predictive models, if you will. Okay? They are intuitive. A set of if this, then that's that a user has to train.
Mm-hmm.
That's how this shit happened.
Yeah, because, and as humans, we are predictable. We have a routine, whether you believe it or not. I am a sneakerhead. So if my location is turned on and I'm at the local sneaker shop and I'm looking at shoes and maybe I Googled some shoes, guess what's going to be in my Facebook feed? Mm-hmm. Guess what's going to be in my Instagram feed?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what type of ads are going to be popping up? Yep. You know, it just goes off of what you do. Every time there's a new release, boom.
Right.
Then, here's a Play Store. Here's a Play Store or App Store app that you might like. Download this. Install this. More shoes. It never fails. If you pay with your phone at Walmart, guess what's going to pop up in your feed?
Mm-hmm.
It's just the way that it is. And yeah, like for instance, that was really a game changer. And, you know, we've had certain tools that we can, you know, look at people's devices and assist them with certain things. And, one of my most favorite tools is I can look and see your screen time and look how many times that you would look at the screen during the day.
Right. Oh,
and people would be shocked when I would tell them that, like, do you realize you looked at your screen 500 times today? It actually went black and came back on 500 times in a day.
Facts.
And people, no.
How many times you're telling me that your phone's broken because it won't charge? I can tell you exactly how many times you plugged it into.
You plugged that thing up? Like your phone is that smart? It monitors damn near every single thing that you do, and there's no way around it. There's no way around it, and that's all. And that's the thing. It's like, you know, I sit there and, you know, I've thought about this prior to this, you know, even coming out, like, how do you get away from that?
Right.
Because when you really think about it, like, you can't even go on a vacation without taking pictures of your food, taking pictures of yourself, having a good time.
All right. So this is segueing, right?
Segueing.
You just gave me a layup, right? Vacation. And again, spoiler alert, if you guys haven't seen it, then, you know, this is crazy. The scene that I'm about to talk about is on right now, right behind you. That's crazy. but I've seen, again, real world, I've seen this in action. And, you know, the scene that's happening right now with Rio is essentially a game. Can you put your device away? Well, the youngest in the bunch can't. She clearly can't. She busts open a cookie jar or whatever. The oldest or middle child, I don't know if he's the oldest, but, you know, he gets challenged with putting his phone away for just a week. you know what I'm saying, for just a week. Going back to what you said about vacation, my sister, my younger sister, she is a late mug. I don't know how we would label them because I'm considered to be a millennial.
Mm-hmm.
She kind of is too. Actually, though, in this particular, she's a late millennial. I'll just call her a late millennial.
Yeah.
She's in her mid-20s now. Okay. In her mid-20s now. We were on vacation, literally. Family vacation. And we were on a cruise ship. So she's completely disconnected unless she chooses or, you know, somebody chooses to pay for the internet for her.
Pay for that Wi-Fi on there.
She lasted probably every bit, bro. Maybe a few hours, but her attitude during that time was terrible.
Oh, I believe it. I believe it. Withdrawal, man. It's a drug, bro. It's a drug.
And it's so, a drug. So finally, the release comes, and that kind of leaned me into, damn it. All right, let me ask my kid. My oldest daughter is 10 now. She's in her tween years. Tween. I said, hey, Nay, if daddy asked you to put your phone away just at dinner time, could you do it? Yeah, just at dinner time. All right, cool. If daddy said you needed to stay away from your phone and your laptop, this was the key, your phone and your laptop for a whole day, could you do it? No. But I knew the answer before I asked it, but that's where I said to myself, I'm like, all right, what am I doing? I am a product of technology. I love technology. But also I have to look at it in myself, and say, I clearly know how to manage and handle it, but that's because I've seen different eras. I grew up in the era of technology growth. My daughter does not know.
Yes.
A world. She does not know a world without a smartphone or without high-speed internet.
Yeah, facts.
Or online gaming, for that matter.
Yes, you don't know the struggles of AOL 30-day trial discs.
Have you ever had to talk to Max about how we used to play SOCOM?
No.
There was a point in time where Call of Duty was not on the internet.
I haven't even broke it down to him. Like, we used to take memory cards to each other's house.
Memory cards.
And download our players to play. There wasn't no online gaming. Man, you better get your memory card, bring your stuff over.
Memory card. Fam, and if you didn't have two of them, you were, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. Bro. I mean, that's just scratching the surface. Like, I'm trying to think. This was, I want to say maybe, it was either a year or 2 years ago. We were all in the house. It was wintertime, so we was all snowed in.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sitting there with the kids, and I have my nephew and nieces too. Bro, I made a paper airplane. You would have thought that we were in a cave and I started fire for the first time. I watched six heads explode off a paper airplane, bro. And I was like, you know what? We're going to have to start disconnecting because this makes absolutely no sense. About 3 hours teaching them how to make paper airplanes.
But then here's the thing, right? Like, it's like, you're right. We know, to a degree, we know the resolution, but this movie, that's what I'm gonna have to start calling it. Yeah, it's a documentary, but again, this movie shows you how And do I believe that there's literally a person sitting at a desk monitoring one person at a time? No, these are all bots and algorithms.
There's no puppet master.
No puppet master. This is AI at its finest. Listen, I mean, Will Smith been on this. We are living in this. This shit has told us for the last 20 years. Y'all seen The Matrix. Then you seen iRobot. Like, all them shits was they're to some degree factual, but it's happening.
I'm definitely one that thinks that if you can think it, it probably already exists.
Right. So I say all that to say, like, you said disconnecting, and I've thought about how to wrestle with that. Yes, I can do that. My kids like board games. I don't even mind if they watch TV. Just put the devices down for however long. I'm a proponent of, you know, if the weather is nice enough, then y'all need to be outside at least an hour or two every day. Mm-hmm. If you can do that. But as we saw in this documentary, old boy was away from his phone for however long, and the algorithms ultimately enticed him to come back. You understand what I'm saying? Like, it's a game. Like, you could be disconnected. Yes, you're dealing with withdrawal, but the platform now realizes, wait a minute, something's not right here. Let's recalibrate, and boom. Get the right combination to pull you back in.
Yep.
And I'm gonna go back this far, right? This was 1 or 2 years ago. And I don't remember the specifics, but I also listened to Jalen and Jacoby, their podcast. And we all know when KD left Oklahoma City, you know, shit wasn't great, right? Or whatever. He went to Golden State. Russ was left in OKC or whatever. There was a post or something that either came out about Russ. Actually, I want to say maybe it was around when PG left. And Russ is left there by himself again. You know what I'm saying? No, because when PG left, Russ got sent to Houston. Neither here nor there, right? They were talking about how KD had liked a picture or something like that. Of people blaming it on Russ, okay? Mm-hmm. And the first thing that came to my mind was, because they were talking all about how KD, you know, you knew what you were doing by liking this picture, this, that, and the third, whatever, whatever. The first thing that came to my mind was Instagram knew what they was doing by putting that shit in KD's face. They did that. KD didn't ask for that. If he never sees that picture, he probably doesn't like it. Exactly. He's not searching for that picture.
Not searching for anyone.
And it may not have even been in his algorithm. But guess what? Because of their connection, that shit got swooped right in there, and it was bait.
Yep.
Completely unsolicited.
I agree 100%. And it's crazy that it works like that. And that is so much to unpack.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of people don't even think about this. They think about, oh, Big Brother's watching and conspiracy. But even still, it's like, you can try and live off the grid. You can try to do all these things. We're at a point where we rely on technology.
Facts.
And there's no getting away from it. But the best thing you could do is try to find a way to manage it.
Correct.
But since, you know, this pandemic, you know, my kids have been staring at screens more so often than we've ever been.
Facts.
You know, for a long time we were doing, I adopted no technology Sundays, where we would, you know, spend time doing everything but no phones, no tablets. We would go to a park, get out the house, go get some fresh air, go get ice cream, and make sure we have conversations.
Right.
You know, I believe in, you know, trying my best to create young leaders. And I want them to be able to understand how to speak to people, how to interact with people, not be emotionally challenged, not be considered weird, and be able to function amongst any and everyone.
Right.
And I think it's on parents to go back to the drawing board to develop their kids to where we can do this again. You know, I feel like technology allows you to be somebody, to be anyone, honestly. So, you know, that's why we have shows like Catfish.
Yep.
That's why, you know, people are talking spicy in the chat rooms when you're playing Call of Duty. Like, you hear some of the most ridiculous shit. Like, you know, I'm sitting there playing Call of Duty and, you know, I hear some young kid who sounds like he's about 11 year old just straight dropping the N-word, N-bomb. And I'm like, you know, the only reason you're able to do that is because you're in the comforts of your own home.
Right.
You know, but don't get it fucked up. Somebody can find you.
Facts.
You know, if somebody felt like doing the work, but, you know, it's not, I don't give any power to that word. For the most part, I don't get excited or, you know, I'm like Tim Duncan when it comes to shit like that. It'll take a lot to get me out my zone. It's like, if you don't affect my money, and you don't touch my kids, and stay out my personal space, you're not going to get anything out of me.
Right. But,
you know, that's that old school thinking.
Right.
You know, whereas now it's microwave society. Instant gratification.
Yeah.
People want to take things into their own hands. And, you know, there's just so many different things, you know, cancel culture. There's so many things that we're dealing with because.
If niggas thought that they old tweets would pop up, do you think they would tweet in the first? Twitter would be dead.
Twitter would be, yeah, it would.
If niggas thought that they old thoughts could come back from, you know.
Yeah. Like, but. And it's bad that you have to apologize from something that you may have grown from.
Correct.
You know, it's really sad. You even look at the Donald Sterling situation, dude that owned the Clippers. He was in the privacy of his own home, having a conversation, and said what he said. So, and yeah, you could take this basketball team away from him and, you know, kind of kick him out the club. He's still a billionaire at the end of the day.
That's a fact.
He still feel the way he feel at the end of the day. You didn't change anything. You didn't change shit. So I'm not a fan of cancel culture. You know what I mean? I think there's definitely a way to attack certain things if we want change.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, if somebody says something bad about you or says something out the way, does that person need to lose their job, go homeless and can't feed their kids or anything? Like, no, I don't think that changes the way that they feel at the end of the day.
Facts.
It changes their situation. In some cases that you may have pissed that person off to the point where I don't have nothing else. Well, might as well start killing motherfuckers. You know what I'm saying?
We've seen that happen too.
Yeah. So I don't feel like there's a lesson in cancel culture because you're getting a bunch of half-ass apologies that are not heartfelt at all.
Right.
And it's just a bunch of fakery. There's a lot of fakeness. And I don't think anyone actually grows from that. And then it's like with the tweets, you know, even as recent as the Kevin Hart thing and they're not letting him host the Oscars. Like, for one, he's a comedian.
Yep.
For two, I don't even know if he really felt that way or was trying to be funny.
Right.
He's a comedian.
Right. Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's tough, man, but you have the machine. You got the machine driving the culture, man. He's just driving society, and you have people who are not rooted in anything. You know, and that's one of the things that it talks about, how we're in the age of fake news.
Oh my gosh.
And so you can put damn near anything up, post a link, and it doesn't have to be from anywhere reputable.
Nope.
somebody will take that and run with it and spread it to the other sheep. And now they're running with it and creating a false narrative that is changing the views and changing society for the worse.
That is super scary. And it brings me to the comparable documentary. I think this one was much better, but the one I'm about to mention is still very informative. And me and you talked, you said you haven't seen it. I suggest you go
watch it. Yeah, I'll probably watch it today. I'll watch it today.
For others who haven't seen The Great Hack, the Cambridge Analytica scandal. And that's exactly what they were doing. This is a firm, an analytics firm, that was specifically hired to influence or assist a political representative in winning their respective race. You know what I mean? So using social media targeting, you know what I mean? So these are the things that, so again, cool nerd shit, right? Cambridge Analytica is why Tony Stark decided to stop selling weapons. Okay. However, the social dilemma is why Tony Stark created Ultron. I hope that helps. I know you follow me.
It's my favorite character. It's my favorite character. Of course I follow you. But yeah.
You can't run away from, you know what I mean? It was never malicious. Tony never thought what he was doing was malicious. But once he saw that it was out there being used for bad, he tried to shut it down. But those thoughts are still here. You ultimately become a captive of your own fear. He created Ultron thinking it would be the ultimate hero, so he didn't have to fight anymore. However, his social dilemma is what ultimately shaped Ultron's thought that, nah, y'all aren't never going to get right. I got to kill you all.
Yep. It became corrupted, and that's what we're seeing with social media.
Facts.
Corruption. We're seeing straight corruption, and you know, I don't see people strong enough to be able to fight it off.
Nope.
Nobody's questioning anything anymore. It's more so they're more than happy to go off of hearsay. And that's one of those things that I just can't go with. You know, my grandmother always said, if you're not rooted in something, you'll fall for anything.
Yeah. I mean, you
just blow around like the wind, you know what I'm saying? Because you're not rooted.
So for me, honestly, I was raised to be inquisitive.
Yeah.
Question everything. Not in a disrespectful way, but question. You know what I'm saying? So when you're presented with something, it's not, there's, you don't have to accept what was immediately given to you. It's okay for you in a respectful way, in a respectful manner, to ask questions.
Yes.
And if you reach your desired outcome after being inquisitive, then maybe it's okay. But I think that's the problem. No one asks questions anymore. No one even cares to find the other side. That's the only reason fake news lives and continues to exist. You understand what I'm saying? Like,
exactly.
That's the only way rumors and things like that get spread around and shared. That's the only reason we have a frazzle drip or Pizzagate.
Mm-hmm. And we also talk about this all the time too, Kevin. Pride is a disease.
Facts.
And we all suffer from it. And sometimes I feel like, because people are so prideful in not wanting to be wrong, they will ride with incorrect information. They will stay on that sinking ship.
Yeah.
And you see that with a lot of things. I'm not trying to get political. I'm not going to do any of that. But I posted a picture on social media recently, and it was a rundown home, and they were supporting a certain president,
correct,
a certain form of politics,
yep,
that did not support their lifestyle. And I said, make it make sense.
Facts.
Because you are below the poverty line. None of these politics do anything to better your life.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you vote this way? It's pride.
Yep.
It's, they catered to hatred.
Mm-hmm.
That may be something that you know, you agree on. Yeah, I don't like people of color. I don't like fucking Mexicans. I don't like this. So yeah, that's my man. But you're not getting the medical attention that you need.
Nope.
You're not getting the, you know, assistance that you need.
Nope.
But yet you're going to sit there sick, broken, hungry, saying, go. That's crazy to me. But that's what I'm talking about. That's what we call sheep. Right. Those are the people that do not do the research. Those are the people that will go off of hearsay and, yep, oh, I'm riding with this person because, you know, fuck all the people that's not my color.
Right.
And I will never be able to understand that. I just can't rock with that. Like, it just doesn't make any, like, I find myself baffled all the time questioning society as a whole. Like, wow, you know, I've seen people put somebody, it was a celebrity that died, and it was like, oh wow, rest in peace. Kev, that article was from like 2012.
Bam, yeah.
And I'm like, are you trying to be, so I had to, because I know this person, and I said it on their page, I said, are you trying to be first? Are you trying to, what are you doing when you, what were you thinking about when you, oh, my fault, big bro? Like.
But nah, so, okay, I know I said we weren't going to talk battle rap, and this is just real quick.
Sure. But
it's the same thing. It's like, all right, Summer Madness just happened, right? And in the beginning of Chess's round, I guess he wanted to do, in the beginning of his third, I guess he wanted to do what everybody else has been doing and speak up for Black people. He has a history of being inaccurate with his facts anyway, but he said something to the effect of the same niggas that will kill Breonna Taylor but leave Epstein alive. Epstein been dead, fam. It's a whole conspiracy around that too.
Yeah.
They got his ass up out of here quick, fast, and in a hurry as soon as he got locked up.
Yeah. And I've been reading things back and forth where they said that they don't have a body. And
listen, man, look. And,
you know, who knows? I don't know.
It's one thing I know. That nigga dead. He dead. He's dead. And the people that, and he's dead because the people that he is connected to, it's a bigger risk for them to be tied to him or for him to divulge the things that he know.
He's better off dead, is what you're saying.
Facts.
So what about old girl?
They keep moving her. Somebody is like with old girl, like I read something that said she wrote a petition to go into Gen Pop because she didn't feel safe in isolation.
Oh,
the
wow.
The breakdown of that was she was in isolation, but they were literally moving her like every 3 days. Okay? But you want to go to Gen Pop because you feel safer. Nah, they know. They know. You're not safe there. It's much easier for them to get to you there. We just going to continue playing this game. You know what I'm saying? She know too. And I don't know.
I'm sure she's at a point where she don't even want to be here no more once everything has been taken away from you.
Right. Yeah. I mean, but whatever. That's not what this is about. But that, no. I mean, to a degree, that, I mean, that shit, it gets influenced that way too. Like
it definitely is. And so, you know, that brings me to a whole different type of vibe as well, because so we talk about the social dilemma, mm-hmm. and algorithms and all these different things that are put into place to sway opinions or persuade you to buy something or things like that, right? We're the product.
Yep.
With that being said, though, it's like, why is it that it takes years to catch pedophiles? Why is it that you have to, you know, investigate them and be like, oh, they've been downloading these images for 7 years and they have 15,000 videos and images and this, that? What takes so long? Why does it take so long? All this information, all this access to people, and nobody's doing it to catch people committing crimes.
All right. I'm going to say this. And I mean, I've had this thought, for a very long time, but I am going to have to preface it in the beginning. We live in a capitalist world.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a product of capitalism. I love capitalism. I love being able to be in a world where you can just start a business like that, make money however you want to make it. Technology has literally helped that along where we are now.
For sure.
But in any type of government or society, economical structure, whatever you want to call it, excuse me, there are pitfalls. Maybe that's the Lord telling me not to say this. my response to what you said is because capitalism.
Mm.
It's not profitable to do so.
Oh, for sure. I agree with you whole soul. you know, you ever seen Minority Report, the Tom Cruise movie?
Absolutely.
Hmm.
Minority Report, Enemy of the State.
Yeah.
These movies are out there.
Yeah. And the information is out there, and they see the emails and they see the video. They see all this shit. They have the ability to hack into any and everything. You know, remember the Apple issue where they wasn't giving away their information? They wasn't letting them have access to me. They still hacked into it. Mm-hmm. You know, they were still able to hack into it, but Apple was like, we're not doing it though.
Right. Right. And that's what that brings us back to. This is like, these companies, these technology companies start off, some of them still aren't profitable to this day. You know what I'm saying? But they're valued at hundreds of billions of dollars because information is value.
Mm-hmm.
How much? All right. Facebook has, and this is something else I watch because I'm in this space. You know, it's an interest of mine. Plus it's my work. Plus you just need to stay woke, right? All right. So we've seen in this documentary, in this movie, that's what I'm gonna start calling it, because it's a movie, that they're selling off the user to the highest bidder at a certain time, right?
Yes.
Right. Okay. Cool. But when he went dark, they weren't talking about losing money, because they're not. So this is why I say that, to say this. I saw something. It was either a technology blog or an interview that said Facebook at that time, and I think that's still relevant today, has 2 billion users.
Mm-hmm.
Based on those 2 billion users, if all of them left Facebook today, Facebook has enough data on those users to create silhouettes and still sell profiles.
That's crazy.
Essentially, they've captured enough information on you and your habits to create your doppelganger.
Basically.
In the social world.
Right.
You know what I mean? Now, I don't want to speculate, but with that being said, and with what we're doing, what people are doing with machine learning and AI and, VR and AR, you will essentially probably be at a point where you could take somebody's social media behavior and create a whole person.
Facts. Facts.
And again, leveraging all of those technologies, you could have a living, breathing, ever-learning, intuitive humanoid. Android, a vision, if you will. Maybe we're getting far left. I'm just saying, these are the things that go through my head from time to time.
Yeah, can you imagine seeing a clone of yourself in traffic?
No. I just watched that movie, Gemini Man, the other day, and that was wigged out too. By the way, that was a good movie. People shitted on that movie that movie wasn't bad until close to the end of it, but for the most part, it was a good movie.
Yeah, I mean, you could tell that the funding wasn't there.
Well, that part too, yeah.
But other than that, it was a good movie.
Yeah.
I didn't have a complaint about that movie.
But yeah, man, it's not weird. Honestly, saying it out loud is weird, but I'm not surprised. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no. That I will say that at this age, nothing surprises me anymore.
Yeah.
I just kind of look at something and shrug my shoulders and keep it pushing, like,
mm-hmm.
Ain't that coming? Nope, that doesn't shock me.
Right.
You know, I think the thing that bothers me to this day is just human response.
Yeah. Yeah.
The not wanting to, you know, be knowledgeable.
Right.
Not wanting to know. Willful ignorance.
Yep.
Let's say that. You know what I mean? Like,
knowingly naive.
Yeah. You see things like, a certain person's taxes came out the other day.
You can say it, fam. Because that nigga, that's terrible.
So
that I pay more taxes than him.
All right, so let's do it real quick. So, you know, Trump's taxes came out.
Yep.
And, you know, the only thing that I hear from his followers is, I need his accountant's number. Ha, ha, ha. To me, that is the perfect deflection for you were fucking wrong.
Right.
You were wrong.
Right.
And nobody is going to be man or woman enough to accept that and do anything about it. And I think that's what pisses me off about people more so than anything. It's like pride is a fucking disease. And I'm going to always say that we all suffer from it and nobody wants to be accountable.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to take accountability, but they will deflect and say cornball shit like that. And I'm trying to tell you, Kev, put me on one, bro. Like, I will snap right about now. Like, there's certain things, because I always consider myself a people person. I invest in people. I am rich with people.
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I can fly to Georgia and not have to get a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
I can go somewhere and eat and not have to pay.
Right.
I can go and rent a car and get a discount price.
Right.
Because I invest in people. And what? If I have connections with certain things, I try to do the same. It's all about showing love.
Love. But
you have these fucking assholes who go above and beyond for somebody that they'll never fucking meet, that will never help them. And yet they will support this person to the very fucking end. And people, we are at the end. And it's like so many things have come out, and it's like, where does the truth at? in people's lives.
Man.
Like, this shit's not okay. So am I going to continue to do this? Case in point, I don't even know if you know this. Me and my kids do not celebrate Christmas.
Oh, okay.
If you look into it, if you look in the encyclopedia, if you read about where it originated and all those different things, it's a made-up holiday like any ever, like anything else.
Right.
Jesus wasn't born in December.
Okay, so I say that. And see, this is the thing. That's the thing. Like, all right, and I'm with you. And we align on just about everything. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We'll probably agree on this. Let me tell you why I still celebrate Christmas.
Sure.
Because just like words,
mm-hmm.
It has the power that you give it. Why Facts. Do I celebrate Christmas?
Facts.
My kids, why do I buy the tree, even though it you know, it's pagan, it may be demonic, whatever.
Sure.
Why do I buy the tree? My kids like buying and decorating the tree. Why do I give them presents? My kids enjoy giving them presents. I mean, getting presents and opening presents. You know what I'm saying? So there's a certain level of nostalgia in it. It don't have to have that particular meaning, because you are right, all the facts point to no, Christmas is not Jesus' birthday, even though that's what they try to
tell you on. Yeah, for sure.
Tell you, he was not born around that time. In fact, he was actually born more closer to Easter than Christmas. All right, neither here nor there, or whatever. So while I try to, my goal is to teach my children to go out there and do their research, fact, and then, you know what I'm saying, hold their beliefs to them or whatever. It's one thing I don't do. I will say I still have family that tries to get my kids to say, you know, happy birthday, Jesus, and all this stuff like that. And every chance I get, I turn around and tell my kids, this is not Jesus' birthday. Like, you know what I'm saying? Whatever. That's not why we do this. That is not why we do this. This
right.
I now look at the holiday season. Let's just call it the fourth quarter is the holiday season.
Mm-hmm.
Thanksgiving is nothing to celebrate for the gods that most people celebrate it for.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, Thanksgiving is a time where for family to get together, enjoy company, be thankful that we're still alive. Mm-hmm. Think about the future, what we're looking forward to. Sit down, enjoy some good football and food. You know what I'm saying? It's a family gathering, almost family reunion, immediate family reunion or whatever. That's the emphasis that I put on it or what have you. You know, I just explained, you know, how I feel about Christmas or whatever. And I'm not even going to hold you. Like, I mean, we even celebrate the new year at the wrong time. So listen, capitalism typically drives just about everything.
Just about everything. You're absolutely
right. So
you're right.
You celebrate the new year on, and again, if you work, this is not news to anybody. If you work at any kind of Fortune 500 company, tell me why we celebrate the new year at January, but every company's business or fiscal year. The fiscal year ends at the end of February.
Talk. That's why you don't get bonuses January 1. Talk.
I mean, please, somebody, you know, listen, things will be right there in front of you. But again, it's about what people want to educate themselves on and understand. And these are not conspiracy theories. These are not conspiracy theories. Let me continue to say that I am pro-capitalism. However, capitalism does need a conscience. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we'll have to have a pod on business and crooked business and what's the difference between good money and not good money. But, we'll definitely have to chop that up. But going back, like, for instance, and here's the thing. I'm never going to tell somebody how to run their household, can celebrate, what they can't celebrate, this, that, and the other, right? With mine, I don't want to get them to a point to where they learn the truth about something. And they're conflicted.
Correct.
So, like, even now, so this is my household. We don't celebrate Christmas. Mm-hmm. Other households, when they're with their moms, whatever, they may celebrate Christmas. But what they will say is, Dad hates holidays. they know that for a fact, that, you know, he doesn't really fuck with the holidays because they're bullshit. Right. Now, what I, in the long haul, what that's teaching them for me is that if you do what you're supposed to do, if you get good grades in school, if you excel in your education, you may be able to go get higher education for free. Mm-hmm. Or from then, you may be able to get a great job. You won't have student loans to pay back. Then you'd be able to buy whatever it is you want, and not just on holidays or birthdays. You don't have to stress out. You don't have to save. You don't have to do all the bullshit that I'm doing to take care of y'all. Right. So it's like, when I say I'm trying to make better versions of myself, I mean that 100% top to bottom. Like, I don't want them to have to know what debt is. I want them to know what it is, but to abstain from it.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying? I want them to be solid and what they believe and understand the truth about everything, and pick and choose what it is that they choose to do in their careers. Cause I'm not going to be here for their entire life.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I want them to be around for mine. And you know, I want to give them all the tools necessary to be able to go forward and create a long lasting legacy. And I want it to start with me, because I don't have the astute background. Mm-hmm. Tying this back into what we do, right. cool nerd shit. When the VCRs came out,
mm-hmm.
I had to go to my grandma's house and hook it up for her.
Right.
You know, if she ever got a new TV, I had to go over there and program the remote, DVD right. player. I had to set that up. So right. my path was already set as a little dude, because I was always hooking up record players, speakers, laser disc players, VHS, Betamax,
right.
Atari, ColecoVision, Nintendo, Sega. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was me. I, from day one, you know, I've been part of the whole tech revolution.
Right.
And so now I have to be able to equip my children with the truth to make them feel like you use this, but you don't necessarily need it.
Need it. That, yes.
All damn day.
Right.
So, and that's the hard part for me. It's hard because, you know, my son is in sports.
Mm-hmm.
He had broke his phone. He hasn't had a phone in a couple years.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at him now and I'm like, shit, I don't even know if I ever want to get him one again. Cause I'm looking at my oldest daughter. She's 10 and she can't get off the motherfucker.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about Kev to the point where that shit will die. And then I see her laying on the floor with it in the charger and she's using it. And I'm like, baby, I told you not to be using your phone while it's on the charger.
Yep.
Like, you know, you see that damn thing hot. Like, why? Roblox ain't going nowhere.
I'm going through the same thing, the same exact thing. Again, my tinker. And this is where, again, tying it back into kind of what we're talking about with this social dilemma. If I know that you all don't have a conscience in selling my information, I'm a grown adult, okay? I get it. Roblox, Fortnite, you know what I'm saying? These games, they're free. These games are free, but they're not.
No.
Okay? You are selling my child's information. You're selling my child's information. And there's got to be a barrier there. I don't know who is checking in on them, but you're just gearing my kid up
for, and again, I don't want to take away what my kid enjoys, you know, try to monitor it, things of that nature. I make sure, look, my daughter, she never, there's no credit card or anything information attached to that shit. She gets her allowance. We go buy the fucking Roblox gift card so she can buy her Robux. Boom. It's all virtual currency, whatever. But that profile is being wrapped tight. And that shit gonna follow her somewhere. You know what I'm saying? And that's the struggle in me. That's the struggle in me in saying, like, I know what's happening behind the scenes, but I don't want to take away the thing that she enjoys. I just got, me and you talked off camera about maybe I need to set, you know, maybe there needs to be a wind down time, an hour. Because it's worse now because they're in the house all day, like you said, because of the pandemic. Right. Before, when they were going to school, and again, I don't want nobody to use this against me, you know, saying, oh, you know, you want the kids in school. Let me be very clear. I want my kids to be safe and healthy. If it ain't safe for them to be inside of school, then I'm all for them being home. That's just point blank, period. You know what I'm saying? Now, when they were in school, it was easier because you're in school 6 to 8 hours a day. You come home, you do your homework, and then you get to enjoy your, you know, extracurricular technology stuff.
Correct. Like that. Correct.
Now the school day is literally like 4 hours. That's it's it. Not even a whole day anymore.
No, these kids aren't challenged, especially if your kids are smart. And sometimes I feel like, you know, like my son is just too damn smart for his own good sometimes. For instance, he woke up at 7 this morning and got on his Chromebook and started knocking out work.
Yeah.
And so by 10, he's looking at me talking about, can I play Fortnite? Because I've done everything for the day and we don't have our virtual meeting until 2 o'clock. And I'm like, bruh, come on, man. Like you're cheating the system.
Yeah.
You're cheating the system. Or is he? Or is he just, he's doing what they're putting in front of him.
Right.
He's not challenged. Yeah. And I don't know, that's another thing with all this shit going on right now. How do you even look at this school year? Do you just chalk it? Like, we're just going to get through it and see what happens in 2021? Is this, because of this, is this going to hold them back potentially?
Well, so I can only speak for how my kids are going through it. And they're holding them accountable. Assignments do need to be turned in on at a certain time, even if they don't have to be done like right in that moment. My kids are getting live instruction or virtual instruction every day. Like they see the teacher for that time period that they're with them. I mean, do I think they're doing it in the most efficient way? No, but it's happening, whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, and then they give assignments and they have to be turned in by a certain time. You know, and then they're getting graded. But, you know, not every school district is doing that. You know, my thing is, you know, they're still, even how you describe Max is doing, they're still, with what Lene is doing, there's more screen time because there's less, I guess, less school interaction or whatever. And it's like, you're on your, like you were saying, about your oldest, she's either on the phone until it dies, then she's on the computer until it dies. And then by the time the computer dies, the phone is charged. It's like, hey, yo, there's a problem here. So I try to make them go outside if the weather is well enough, at least an hour a day, get your mind off that, put that down. Or listen, I'm not even saying you can't watch TV. Just put that down and at least watch this TV you have here so you're not just looking at this freaking 10-inch screen all day.
Thank you.
You know what I'm saying? TV might not be that much better because that was the original. That was the original thing back when me and you were younger.
Oh, yeah.
Parents that's where we were being. That's what we
set
were.
Off, go outside.
Right. That's where we were being sold. You know what I'm saying? Like, you start thinking about this in a manner of, if social media, if we are not the consumer and we're the product in social media, that is not a new concept. That probably started with TV.
For sure.
Marketing, because that's marketing in general.
That exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
That's almost like marketing 101. I want to suggest something to you, and I said this too, and I'm going to suggest this to everybody, because in a more science fiction-y kind of way, it does break all of this down in the same way. But American Gods on Stars, that show is real.
Yo, I got to watch that. You told me that, and I got to watch that. I got to watch that.
It encompasses all this shit.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, like you said, marketing, there's a reason that, you know, back when they had smoking commercials on TV, the dude had a motorcycle and a leather jacket.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there's total motive behind that.
We're being sold at every turn. Hence the title of this podcast, Pimping Ain't Dead.
Nah, not at all.
It just moves to the web.
Slavery ain't dead either.
in the most eloquent words of Chad Butler, pimping ain't dead. It just moved to the web.
That's it. You know,
the social dilemma is
that's it.
All the evidence of that, man. Like, it's crazy. And you know, back to our, you know, original thought is like, the reason this movie is even happening is because the creators of these platforms, or the people that were responsible for, like, they had people, the inventor of the like button is on here.
Exactly. You
know what I'm saying? Like, something as simple as that, he thought it was simply going to encourage social activity, and it actually has diminished social activity.
Imagine that. Something as simple as the like button. Crazy. Crazy.
Please
watch The Social Dilemma if you haven't seen it already.
You got to.
It's eye-opening. It really is, even for, you know, some of your more savvy users.
You'll catch everything. If you're a savvy user and you watch this, you'll catch everything they're talking about.
Everything.
You'll get it all.
Everything. But I think that was the one thing that stood out to me on the whole thing, is that I am the actual product.
That is just,
that's astounding.
I guarantee you, until this came out, nobody looked at it that way.
No, nobody looked at it that way. Nobody looked at it that way. And still, nobody looked at it that way and still couldn't figure out, how is it you guys get paid?
T-Rex hat.
I'm telling you, bro. Because it never crossed my mind until it said that. And I was like, you motherfuckers. I was done.
Yeah.
Done. Yeah. We all got hoed out.
Facts.
I mean, I don't even know what to do. It's like, you have a very little percent of people who make money, you know, doing this. You can get verified. You can get a YouTube check. You can get a TikTok check.
Yeah. But listen, that's the kickback, right? The thing about it is this. You'll probably get somebody that will say, well, the platform don't make money off me. I make money off the platform. Nope. I'm going to say this. Joe Budden said it. Okay. Joe Budden said it. And I'm a super huge Joe Budden fanboy, whatever. You know what I mean? I would even say that he inspired me to start this pod, but it's no secret. Joe Budden just recently left Spotify, right? And it's no secret that Joe Budden was the first podcast to get a major exclusive deal with the direct DSP. Okay. Digital streaming platform, for those that aren't hip. He left because he didn't feel like he was getting valued, but all these people got money after he did. Now, it's not because Spotify didn't offer him the money. It's because Spotify said, hey, we'll give you the money, but we want to own everything else that you do too. Anything that your partners do, any other ideas that you have, hey, we'll just pay you for that too. Showing him that they can't create anything.
That's it.
Right. And he also mentioned that in the process, they wanted him to bring other people to the platform, and he would tell them no at every turn because you just kind of want to pillage. So I take that, why would I bring other people on this platform? So if you're not treating the one person on this platform that you have, right? I say all that to say this, right? For those social media influencers that say they're making money off social media, all you're doing is feeding the beast. They're paying you. Yeah, you're getting paid. But guess what? All your followers, all of those likes that you're getting, that you're getting paid off of, you just feeding those profiles to them to sell to somebody else. So yeah, you're the middleman. You are the middleman.
Talk.
You understand what I'm saying? Like, I mean, again, we're not trying to get too deep off of it, but you know, that's my rebuttal to anybody that says, oh, I make money off of this. I'm making money off of this. At what cost?
At what cost? And like I said, you know, I don't, all money ain't good money.
Yeah.
All money ain't good money. So, and you can't be enjoying yourself too much if you got to stop and take a picture of yourself having a good time. You don't sell me on your good time.
Listen, please don't sell me on your good time, and stop breaking relationships or getting mad because, hey, bro, you ain't like my picture. Why would I like? I know you in real life.
Man, stop. Come on.
I didn't post you on your birthday. You mad? What? I know you in real life. I called you on the phone and said happy birthday.
Come on.
I sent you a text message and said happy birthday. I hit you up and said, hey, yo, you good? How you doing? I saw that post you put up.
Come on.
Let's talk.
Make relationships personal again. Talk. Like,
why would I have this exchange or interaction with you on social media? What I saw what you put on social media. You didn't sound like yourself. Let's talk.
Make friendships real again.
Like, I'm not with that, man. Again, I'm not. So it has its gifts. It's a gift and a curse. It was meant for good. It was created in good. It evolved into something else. And unfortunately, it has people in control of it or that are controlling it that don't have those genuine general intentions. That's why you get this documentary with the creators that are now coming back. So the social dilemma is essentially an apology. They're saying, I'm sorry.
Boom. Everybody. There it is. Yeah. It's I'm sorry. I got it wrong. I was wrong.
Right.
I was wrong. This is not what it intended to be.
This is not how I set it out. And since I'm the creator, I'm actively doing something to combat what I created.
And that's a huge uphill battle right now.
Huge uphill battle. Because capitalism.
That's it.
Look, I think we did good. Because after a while, this conversation is going to get a little more depressing. But look, you got the screen rolling in the back. This is perfect timing. We talked just as long as the movie. So that's perfect timing for you all to stop watching Rio's background and go watch the movie. This is not a paid advertisement. This was just a very good movie.
At all. I had to talk about it. It's definitely something that was needed. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important for everyone to watch it. Just to, if not just to educate yourself on what's going on.
Facts. And that TV show or the series, the docu-series that I was talking about, it's called Valley of the Boom. It's created just this exact same way. It's a documentary plus an actual scripted series about the beginning of Netscape, theglobe.com, and Pixelon. So for those that know what Netscape is a browser, theglobe.com, I think that was supposed to be the beginning of social media, and Pixelon was supposed to be like the first YouTube, some shit like that. Mm-hmm. So that's also very good. on National Geographic. Y'all can go check that out. I'm pretty sure it's probably on demand. So with that being said, Cool Nerd Podcast. I'm Kev the Cool Nerd. Big O from the 614, Columbus,
Ohio. Thank you for having me. Thank you for listening again. You know, we want to thank everybody that's been supporting the platform. I mean, we're doing our best to try and drop as much diverse and dope content. Sometimes it's going to be fun. Sometimes it may be hard hitting. Either way, fuck with us.
All the way.
Thank you. Thank you again.
Please and thank you, because we have manners.
We have manners.
We gone.
Come back and listen to my daddy's podcast.